As the Torah introduces Moshe's final and farewell address to the Jewish people, it tells us that the speech will take place after the Jewish army has defeated Sichon, the king of Amori, who dwelt in Cheshbon, as well as defeated Og Melech HaBashan, Asher Yoshev Ba'ashtarot Be'edrei. Similarly, we defeated Og, the king of Abashan, who lived in Ashtarot in Edrei. The question, quite simply, is why is it necessary for us to know this detail? In what way is knowing that this great and grand speech, this valedictory address that Moshe will give the Jewish people before he dies, in what way is there value added to knowing that it took place after the defeat of Sichon and Og? The Sfas Emes quotes his grandfather, the Chedush Harim, who explains that on a deeper level, there was a spiritual battle that was waged as well when we met these two kings and their armies on the battlefield. There was a spiritual battle because these two kings represented dark, anti-spiritual forces which needed to be defeated before Moshe could take leave of the people, before the people could eventually enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael. Sichon is identified as being the king who lived in Cheshbon. Cheshbon, says the Chedush Harim, is a reference to the Shoresh Machshavos Ra'os, the root of all of the mistaken calculations that we make. When we are considering doing something other than the right thing, when we eventually do something that we know we shouldn't do, so one of the primary reasons that that happens is these machshavos ra'os, this cheshbon, these calculations that we make. There are intellectual pulls, intellectual forces in our mind that pull us away. They distract us. Sometimes they paralyze us with their analysis. And they prevent, one way or another, us from doing what in our heart and in our gut we really know is correct. But because of all of the cheshbon, because of all of the cheshbonos, the various thoughts and calculations that we make, intellectual and rational calculations, often we convince ourselves that there are other perspectives, or at very least, the paralysis by analysis, and we don't act. Next, we defeated Og, who was located Be'edrei. Edrei is an Aramaic for Zeroah, or the arm, or the forearm. And this refers to, says the Chedush Harim, action. It's one thing to have thoughts, but thoughts have to lead to action. And if we have the right action, then we do the right things. But when we have the wrong cheshbon, that leads to the wrong be'edrei, that leads to the wrong action. Action which is influenced by seichel. It's that two-step process that can get us into trouble. Says the Chedush Harim, before we went into Eretz Yisrael, before Moshe's job could be complete, we needed to conquer cheshbon and conquer be'edrei. That is to say, because the Jewish people are not supposed to be governed by either rational or intellectual or action. There's something above both of those, a third and higher dimension, and that is emuna, pure faith. And in order for the emuna to be the determining factor, in order for faith to govern all of our thoughts and actions, the other two first needed to be defeated, as it were, put in their place. There's an incredibly vital role, absolutely vital, of machshava and maaseh, but they only work if they're being controlled and influenced by the emuna. The Chedush Harim adds that this is symbolized by the tefillin that we wear, one on our head, the shel rosh, and one on our arm, facing our heart, the shel yad. The shel rosh obviously symbolizes the intellectual and the rational. We put tefillin on our head to show that emuna, the belief in Hashem and Shema Yisrael, which is in that tefillin, must be even above intellectual, as much as we respect and put on a great pedestal the intellect. But above that has to be our emuna, has to be our faith and our commitment to Hashem. From there, the tefillin go down, so to speak, the straps, if you will, leading from the head, passing through the heart, and eventually wrapping around the arm. And the shel yad, which clearly represents, of course, the action, the hand, the zroah, the action of a person. And again, as I mentioned, it's not just that we have all of our hand bound by the straps, by the ritus of the tefillin, but the bias, the actual box of the shel yad, is on our inner bicep, focusing our heart, symbolizing that our emuna must control our desires and influence the actions of our heart. The Sfas Emes adds to this beautiful idea of his grandfather that only once we have this connection between both Machshava and Maisa, all subsumed under the rubric of and under the umbrella of Emuna, only then are we ready to actually say the Kriya Shema. The Gemara is very critical of someone who says Kriya Shema without wearing their tefillin. It would be like an Edus Sheker. But there's a symbiotic relationship between the Shema, which we proclaim our Emuna and Hashem, and the two tefillin, which combine to bind those two aspects of our life, our thoughts and our deeds, under the tefillin symbolized by the Shema as well. We'll just add one last point, which is that we had to conquer and go through Cheshbon to get to Eretz Yisrael, because the reality is that in our lives, in Eretz Yisrael, both then and now, it's never made any sense purely based on Cheshbon. If you were just relying on Cheshbon, we could never have conquered Eretz Yisrael to begin with, and no one would ever move, not in various points in history, and not even in the current and modern Aliyah. It's always happened because people are willing to conquer their Cheshbon, not be irrational or irresponsible, but ultimately, though, take a leap of faith based on the Emunah, which was symbolized and the trail was blazed in that initial conquest, which first took care of Sichon and Cheshbon, Og be'edrei, and then allowed us to go into the Eretz HaEmunah, the land of faith, the people of faith, inheriting it when Eretz Yisrael became the home once and forever of the Jewish people.